Welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, a weekly news digest covering events in Israel. It's relevant and accurate information you need to know, direct from the Holy Land. You're listening to Front Page Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, the voice of Israel to the world, brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel in the city of the great king, Jerusalem. I'm Earl Cox, and Ben Kinchlow is on assignment.
And I'm Kevin Howard in Jerusalem.
Despite the best efforts of many Jews, Christians, and even secular conservatives combating the issue of anti-Semitism, the effects and sentiments against the Jewish nation and its people continues and is even increasing in some parts of the world. When the rhetoric is escalated and the leaders of a nation's political party are being accused, however, it can be extremely important to take a close-up look at our country's future direction. While anti-Semitic rhetoric may not always make world headlines, the head of the UK's Labour political party, Jeremy Corbyn, has been making UK headlines concerning allegations of anti-Semitism being part of the Labour Party's rhetoric and possible agenda. To find out more about these allegations and the direction of UK politics, Kevin Howard recently spoke with Marie van der Zyl to discover some of the realities on the ground in the United Kingdom. We'll bring you that interview in just a moment, but first let's hear from the CFI Jerusalem News Desk, where David Milburn has gathered the recent headlines from Israel. David?
Thanks, Earl. In Israeli election news, Israel's president was into his second and final day of crucial talks to find a new prime minister and a way out of political deadlock as he meets with the smaller parties elected in last week's Israeli vote. Reuven Rivlin was to hear from the remaining party leaders on Monday their recommendations for his choice to head a government. Neither of the larger parties under Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud or Benny Gantz Blue and White could muster enough Knesset seats in the September 17th election to form a clear majority coalition. Blue and White emerged with a slight advantage by winning 33 out of 120 seats, with Likud gaining 31 seats. Deputy Health Minister Yaakov Leitzman from the United Torah Judaism Party was the first to speak, telling Rivlin that his faction is backing Netanyahu as promised. The largely ceremonial president is playing a key role. After an almost tied election result, he is expected to announce his choice on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the Joint Arab List said it was withdrawing some of its members' recommendations for Gantz. That Now, before we return to Earl, here's today's This Page in History.
On October 16, 1886 was the birth date of David Ben-Gurion. This larger-than-life figure is one of the earliest Zionist leaders, a founder of Israel, Israel's first prime minister. Ben-Gurion was not a saint, but he was committed to the Zionist movement and worked to create a new Jew in the Jewish homeland. He declared the independence of the Jewish state in 1948 when most of the world told him that he should be more patient. He stated that the new nation would uphold the full social and political equality of all its citizens without distinction of religion or race. As prime minister, he oversaw the establishment of the state's governmental institutions, and in his capacity as defense minister later, he was the main proponent of Israel's development of its own nuclear arsenal as a guarantor of survival in a climate of intolerant Islamic-dominated neighbor regimes. It can be safely said that his contribution to the land was, and still is, a profound one.
Welcome back, everybody. When anti-Semitic rhetoric becomes an allegation of a policy of a political party or nation, the time to take a realistic look at the situation is brought to the forefront. Front Page Jerusalem's Kevin Howard recently found out more about some of the realities concerning the political arena in the United Kingdom.
Thanks, Earl. I am speaking today with Marie van der Zyl. She is the president of the Board of Deputies of British Jews in the United Kingdom. Marie, thank you for being our guest on the program today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Marie, as in other nations around the world, there appears to be some rising anti-Semitism. How would you describe the dynamics in the United Kingdom and how your community is responding to it?
We've had a rise, particularly in anti-Semitism. Obviously, there was a spike in 2014 with the Gaza conflict, but there was a reason for that in the UK with people's responses. But since 2015, following a scandal that broke out in the Oxford University Labour Club. I think that's the beginning of the toxic anti-Semitic atmosphere that we have started to encounter, because Mr. Corbyn's office handled that very, very badly. Although inquiries were commissioned, they were suppressed. And then we had something called the Chakrabarti inquiry, which I, as a vice president at the time, described as a whitewash into anti-Semitism. And then we had Shami Chakrabarti accepting a peerage, which we also said was transactional. And since that time, I think it's fair to say that barely a week or even barely a day has now gone by without some revelation or other form of anti-Semitism. And the situation that we have at the moment is that Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party, due to his inaction, led to a space opening up where anti-Semitism has become normalised. It's become acceptable for many of his supporters, and Labour has now become a home for overt anti-Semites and anti-Semitism. There are new lows all the time when you think you can't get any more new lows. Earlier on this year, we had an anti-Semitic mural, and we've also had Jeremy Corbyn's comments himself that Zionists don't understand British irony. So it's as if we are aliens and not really British, even if we've lived in this country all our life. We've had now several years of this, and Jews did something really unprecedented a few months ago. With only 24 hours notice, we organised a public gathering outside our parliament to demonstrate our concerns. We thought maybe 150 people would show up, but 2,000 people came with no notice, Jews and non-Jews, many members of parliament, even from the Labour Party. And we said, enough is enough. That is a short summary of where we are at the moment. We, of course, have no transparency, and Jeremy Corbyn has not apologised for his past affiliations with terrorists, with Hamas, his brothers, and in particular, in relation to the victims in the Munich Olympics, he's not apologised to the families, which is a disgrace. And this is very, very difficult, unprecedented situation. And that's broadly where we are now, waiting to see what he does next.
So with elections coming up, the Labour Party could be in a majority. Having a platform more accepting to the Palestinian narrative and BDS, what would you say to that?
The Board of Deputies is a politically non-partisan organisation, so we have to say it's not our job to tell people how to vote. And as far as we are concerned, these sorts of issues shouldn't be why somebody should be voting for a political party. We should be looking at our national agenda. However, I think it's fair to say if Labour get into power, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a BDS motion immediately. And if there were also restrictions on giving money to charities, perhaps in Israel, and in fact, any form of trade relationship or security arrangement with Israel would also probably immediately be terminated. So although we have a very good relationship with Israel at the moment, we'd be very concerned going forwards about trade. All of the hard work that's happened to build relationships, including Prince William coming to visit earlier this year, that would be in difficulty. And there could also be a weapons embargo against Israel, and labelling Israeli products would also probably be something initiated by a Labour-led government. So it wouldn't bode well for a relationship between the UK and Israel, although it's difficult to predict exactly what would happen.
Marie, recently the Labour Party conference had a sea of Palestinian flags. What does the Board of Deputies believe is the right way forward for the UK in reference to these types of situations?
I think what has to be taken from the flags is, why wasn't there any concentration on other countries where there are problems? For example, at Syria, what I think the problem is that there only seems to be Israel being highlighted. It's double standards. That is what the problem was. There was indeed a sea of flags. And as I say, why aren't other countries being looked at? Why is it? It's just Israel under the spotlight. And I don't think there's an easy answer to that question.
Tell our listeners how you can protect the UK Jewish population, especially with the communities feeling ill at ease and with anti-Semitism on the rise.
Well, when you say protect the population, I want to say that we still feel that the UK, especially compared to many of our European counterparts, is a very safe place to live, and we are very lucky to live in the UK. I think probably the question is Corbyn an existential threat to the Jewish community? Because that phrase and that concept has come from a combined editorial column of the three Jewish newspapers in the UK. Personally, I wouldn't quite frame it in that way, but that is a sentiment of concern. There's anxiety, there's nervousness, which many Jews in the UK now identify with. And there was, in fact, a recent poll in the Jewish Chronicle that suggested 40% of Jews might consider leaving the UK if the Corbyn-led Labour Party came to power. So clearly there is acute anxiety, and it's Labour's job to do what they need to do to ease all of our fears. But if you're asking me, do I feel unsafe walking on the streets of London because I'm a Jew? I do not feel unsafe, at least not at this time, no.
Does the experience going on in the UK seem to compare with things that have been seen in Paris recently?
In Paris, and I went to the Grand Synagogue only a few weeks ago, actually, to hear the annual address with President Macron. I saw guards with huge guns. That really did seem a very different atmosphere to what we have on the streets. Now, there clearly is a rise in anti-Semitic incidents. There's no doubt about that because CST have the figures. But as a rule, I don't feel unsafe walking down the streets because I'm a Jew. But I feel very uneasy that the Labour Party, Her Majesty's opposition, have clearly got such a deep-rooted problem with anti-Semitism. And quite clearly, it's very urgent for them to get all of the MPs to have anti-Semitism training. There has to be a culture change. That is really what we're looking for from the opposition party.
Marie, how can we encourage the Jewish Labour MPs to stand up and speak out about what's going on?
They are standing up and speaking out. And I went, as I say, partly to the Labour Party conference, and I was at an event with Luciana Berger about Holocaust Memorial. I think the Labour Party MPs have spoken out. In particular, you have Louise Ellman, Ruth Smith, and many non-Jewish MPs. They've been truly excellent. For example, John Mann. Nobody's being silent here. Everybody has been speaking out. Obviously, Margaret Hodge decided that she wasn't going to go, but other MPs certainly did go to the conference and were heard.
When we hear about anti-Semitism increasing in the nations of the world, it's a sober reminder that as Christians, we must continue to pray for Israel, the Jewish people, and the peace of Jerusalem. Well, right now we need to take a short break so that you can hear about an outstanding outreach project at the Christian Friends of Israel that's making a real difference for some very special people in the land of Israel today.
You survived the most horrific persecution of your people in the history of the world. And now you live and struggle in the land of your ancestors. With age creeping in and mobility decreasing, you sit alone in a tiny little home. Only memories of the past and current troubles keep you company. A knock sounds at the door, and you slowly answer. Elated to see visitors, you're overjoyed that someone still cares. You have not been forsaken. The CFI team travels weekly throughout Israel, reaching out through home visits to connect and assist Holocaust survivors in a practical way, providing listening ears and caring hearts to those who have experienced so much sorrow and pain. As they age, many of the survivors of yesterday are leaving us quickly. The urgency of this tremendous work is always in the forefront. Having been through so much, it is our honor and privilege to make sure that as many as possible are never forsaken again. Some say that to the world, they may only be one person, but we know to one person, we may just be the world.
Christian Friends of Israel's project, Forsake Them Not. Just one more way we're making a difference in Israel, one life at a time. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to our continuing discussion between Front Page Jerusalem's Kevin Howard and Marie Vandersil as they talk about the increased challenges of dealing with the accusations of rising anti-Semitism in the UK's Labour political party.
Thanks again, Earl. For those of you just joining us, I am speaking today with Marie Vandersil. She is the president of the Board of Deputies of British Jews. Marie, with the Labour Party's published agenda of putting Palestinian welfare above that of, let's say, UK elderly residents, is that a concern for the local communities?
He spent all of the summer, in effect, picking fight with the Jews over the acceptance of the IHRA definition or the examples, when quite clearly our national agenda, in my view, should be top of the list. All of the things that we are battling in this country, Brexit in particular at the moment, of course they should be more of a concern. The Palestinians may be a concern to the Labour Party, but as I say, what about other countries around the world with very, very serious problems? Why is it only Israel? Why is it only the Palestinian flags at the Labour Party conference? Why not any others? And the reason for that is because Jeremy Corbyn has a very, very deep-rooted hatred of Israel and Zionism that I think is at the core of many of the issues relating to anti-Semitism. It's that fixed ideology and worldview.
So what are some of the ways that Christians and those in the nations who love Israel can get involved in advocacy issues?
That really has to be a matter between them and the Zionist Federation. But at the Board of Deputies, we deal with many other organisations. We have plenty of interfaith activities, many discussion groups. People can write to their MPs. People can stand up and be counted. We are all speaking out very, very loudly. It's not a question of that. But the Labour Party have managed to reach quite a few people on the far left. And this is a different situation to anything that we have faced as Jews previously. And we are speaking out. We're on the streets. We've had several rallies. But we've now told him very, very clearly, and the Labour Party, what is required. And we now need to see action, not words. So these people need to be held accountable. And people all need to understand that, and everyone can play their part in that. And it's something that's being talked about, but they now have to come up with action.
Marie, can you tell us about your personal story and how you got to where you are today, being only the second woman in 250-some years as president of the Board of Deputies of British Jews?
Well, thank you. I'm 52 years old. I am a Labour lawyer. As a student, I went to Liverpool where I studied law, and I became very involved with the Liverpool community, and I am still today. But in 2008, I had a thyroid cancer. And following that, I suppose I would say that I reassessed my values and my life and the things that were important to me. And as part of my recovery, my rabbi suggested that I should try to get elected to the Board of Deputies, because the way the representation works in the UK is that we have representatives called deputies from every synagogue and communal organisation. So at the time, I was a representative for my synagogue, and I very quickly was then elected as the vice president. And because of my legal background, I was given the portfolio of defence and interfaith relations, which I think is the most difficult and important part of the work of the Board of Deputies. And Jonathan Arkush was a very effective president, and he didn't stand for a second term, and I felt that I needed to, because I knew that I could do the job and I have got the political connections and understand the issues, and I'd become very involved with the community. So at the moment, I represent an organisation. My constituency is the Jewish Lads and Girls Brigade, which is the youth, and I'm very pleased to do that, because we have to also find a way for young people to have a voice. It was a difficult election. And yes, I was the second woman ever to be elected in 258 years this year. And that is very special. And more than that, we have more women than men for the first time ever on the top table. And I'm also the youngest president that we've ever had, because traditionally it's been people that are perhaps older or retired. And it is a very time-consuming job, and it's all voluntary. So I have to work on top of my duties. So I really do care passionately about the community. And it's all about volunteering. And I want to feel that I've done my bit for Jews, and I'm doing my very best. And so are the wonderful Board of Deputies team.
Can you give us your perspective on the relationship between the United Kingdom and Israel, and what are your hopes of things moving forward?
Well, I'm also a passionate Zionist, because my grandparents made Aliyah in 1969. So I've been coming to Israel for all of those years. Israel is also a central role for the identity of most Jews in the UK. We all have a very strong affinity. And we all want to make sure that the Jewish community is a strong ally of Israel. Now, in the diaspora, it's fair to say that many young people are questioning the state of Israel. And this is something that we have to have all variety of opinions within the Board of Deputies. And only last week, we had a demonstration outside our offices against the demolition of the Arab village there. We've also got to find a way for all of these views to be heard. But we have to promote, it's part of the constitution of the Board of Deputies, to promote the safety and security of Israel. And it's very, very important for us to be able to do that. And the UK-Israel relationship itself is a great strategic asset for the United Kingdom. We've got hugely strengthened trade links. And when we have Brexit, it's very important that the gains in trade liberalisation under the EU and Israel are not lost and are carried on in the post-Brexit period. But many opinions about Israel are very diverse and are felt very, very strongly. And we have the whole range of opinions within the Board of Deputies. But I myself am passionately committed to the state of Israel, and I'm very proud of Israel and want to do my very best to strengthen all our links.
So what is your heart message then that you would have our listeners know about the Jews in the UK?
I would just say that the Jews have been in the UK for a long time, and we are very proud to be British Jews. It is very difficult that we are facing this crisis of anti-Semitism today in the Labour Party. So shortly after the Holocaust, it didn't seem imaginable that we could be in this position. We are doing everything that we can to challenge any anti-Semitism and any racism. It's very important that we actually challenge all forms of racism. And I'm very grateful to the listeners because we are very, very concerned. And we are in the UK very grateful for all your support. And we are going to carry on fighting any anti-Semitism wherever it comes from, not just in the Labour Party, from whatever party. It's not something that's going to be resolved overnight. We need to see a complete change of culture. And we are, of course, very concerned at the prospect of a prime minister with this history of anti-Semitism in the Labour Party that's not resolved. And we hope that the tide will be turned and that we will be able to move on. But we need to see what happens next. And Jeremy Corbyn needs to show leadership in tackling these problems as a matter of urgency.
So, Marie, do you have any words of encouragement for the next generation, the Jewish youth in your nation?
Well, we have many younger members at the Board of Deputies, and we encourage everybody to talk and to have respectful dialogue. We have had concern here that younger people have had abuse, including threats, physical threats, for expressing their views. And whilst many of these views may be offensive to me, we still need to find a way to talk to each other, to manage to have dialogue and respect, and all find our way to support Israel.
Marie van der Zyl, the President of the Board of Deputies of British Jews in the United Kingdom, thank you for being our guest today on Front Page Jerusalem.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kevin, for that quite enlightening discussion with Marie van der Zyl on the many challenges surrounding the accusations of rising anti-Semitic sentiment in the United Kingdom. Well, our time is almost up for this week, and in a minute we'll bring you this week's Bible on the Go. But before that, let's have another visit with David Milburn at the CFI Jerusalem News Desk. David?
Thanks again, Earl. It's harvest time in vineyards atop the hills of the settlement of Shiloh in Samaria, but it's not the Israeli settlers picking the grapes, it's evangelical Christians. They are volunteers for the American group Hayovel, which brings Christians to Israel to help farmers. Many are staunch supporters of Israel, seeing a biblical connection with the Jewish people and the Holy Land. Judea and Samaria hold a special importance to Christians who see a divine hand in the modern-day return of Jews to a biblical homeland. The founder, Tommy Waller, is fond of quoting a passage from the book of Jeremiah which reads, "Again I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. You shall yet plant vineyards upon the mountains of Samaria." Some farmers see the Christians as helping them out in fulfilling their own vision. Nir Lavi, the owner of Habracha Winery, says Hayovel's contribution to his business has been more than financial. We are grateful. It's a totally different phase of our own journey, the Jewish people's redemption in their own land. Now, before we return to Earl, here's David Nekrutman with this week's Bible on the Go.
I often have the honor of having pastors at my Sabbath table on Friday evening. And in Jewish tradition, we have a ritual where we lay our hands on our kids and we bless them with Genesis 48:20, "May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh," followed by the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And a pastor once asked me, he said, "I don't understand why you put Jacob's blessing before God's blessing." So that's an excellent question. In fact, you know, you're right. You know, God actually mandated that you should be blessing this blessing, and Jacob just did this on the fly. But I think the answer is that Ephraim and Manasseh are the first two biblical brothers that get along with one another. You know, Cain and Abel, it didn't work out well for them, and Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Ishmael. Now we have Ephraim and Manasseh that are one unit in the family life. But more importantly, they are born in Egyptian culture. They are saturated with pagan influences, yet they still retain their faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I said, this is probably the reason why we say the bliss blessing before the priestly blessing, because we want to give over to our kids that no matter what, we stand with God. No matter what temptations are out there, no matter what secular influences are there to pull away from that faith, we affirm that we are standing with God. And by that affirmation, then we can get the blessings from the priestly blessing about covenant and revelation about His word and all the material blessings associated with the priestly blessing. This is David Nekrutman with Bible on the Go.
Thanks, David. Well, that's our show for today. We hope that you've enjoyed the program, everybody, and thanks for joining us. And please don't forget to support this station, because this station supports Israel. Before we go, we want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and to be sure to join us on this station again next week as we bring you all the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. So for now, on behalf of the entire staff of Front Page Jerusalem, I'm Earl Cox, reminding you that because God loves Israel, I do too.
You've been listening to Front Page Jerusalem. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com. Front Page Jerusalem is brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel Jerusalem, making a difference in Israel one life at a time. Front Page Jerusalem is a production of Level E Media Incorporated.